It's been good to be here already this morning. And I was drawn to our Sunday school lesson where it talks about learning to walk in the Spirit. And it's been, I think, a heart's cry and passion for me for a little while. And as I was thinking about that, and actually in our service coming up tonight, I believe our communion service, the communion service is one of the most important services for us as believers. And there's maybe one that would trump that, which would be our baptism service, where we're publicly declaring ourselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But beyond that, the communion service is a very important service for us as believers, because we're taking time to step back a little bit and reflect some on what it means for us and how we have we have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ and how that has changed our lives. And it's a time for us to step back and reflect. And as I was thinking about that, we don't do much preparatory for communion, but this morning my sermon is going to be a little bit geared toward that. And there's a couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about the communion service. It says this in verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And those verses for some of us sort of instill some fear into our hearts, because they've been used in some pretty incredible ways to heap a load of guilt on us as Christians and sort of condemnation and those kind of things. But really, those verses are really talking about the fact that we need to take, as we approach the communion service, we need to take a step back. And it's talking about the fact, really, the unworthy manner is talking about the fact that we enter into the communion service sometime in an irreverent manner. We come into it irreverently. Either it doesn't mean much to us, or it's become just a form of religion for us. It's just another service that we do, and so we come and we just go through the motions of the communion service, and we come out on the other side saying, I've done what the Lord has asked me to do, because he talked to us about partaking in communion and doing the communion service, and we know that all very well. And so what those verses are talking about is we need to take a step back and just take a look at our lives as we approach the communion service and say, what's really going on in my life? Am I coming here tonight in an irreverent way? Maybe I don't care too much about it, and it's just something I know I need to do, and we don't do that as much here, but I know, you know, in some churches, if you don't partake, it means that there's something wrong in your life, and that may be true, but the reality is we need to take a step back and say, what's going on, and just look inside for a little bit. So this morning, I want to do that just for a few minutes. I want to actually blend two scriptures that have really stood out to me in the last number of weeks. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Carl, if you could put those up and actually just keep them there when I move on to my next set of scriptures. This is a very familiar story for us. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets.' And he said to them, 'Who do you say that I am?'" That's a powerful question. He begins by saying, hey, what are people saying about me out there? As you get out, as you talk to people, what are you hearing? What are people saying about me? And so they give him the answer, and then he turns it to a personal question. And in reality, this is the most important, one of the most important questions that we can answer in our lives. It's one of the most important questions that are asked us as human beings on the face of the earth. Who do we say that Jesus is? Who is he to you and I? Is he just another prophet? Is he just someone out there that we've been taught from the time we're little kids about? Who is he to you and I? And Peter, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of living God." And Jesus, powerful statement. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." That statement right there, we can't come up on our own. And I want to talk about the fact that later on, I'm going to come back to this, but we can say that statement in our heads, but we can't say that statement in our hearts without the Holy Spirit of God touching us in some really incredible way. We can't do that. We can make this statement out of our heads, but not in our hearts, out of our flesh. We can't do that. The Holy Spirit has to do the work in our hearts to be able to do that from a heart level and make the statement that Peter made right there. "I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," or on this foundation, "is I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it." And that's a powerful claim that Jesus is making right there. He's saying on that foundation, on the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that coming out of a heart, the Holy Spirit nudging a heart, our hearts, on that, the Lord is going to build his church. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that is incredibly powerful in our world today, because it seems like the gates of hell have been unleashed. And I've said this before, and they are at our heart's door all the time, bringing everything that they have against us. And it may be in the realm of physical. And some of us in this congregation right here have heard the big cancer word. And it takes us through an incredible journey of life. Others have struggled with other forms of health issues. It may be that the gates of hell are coming against us. It may be things that are going on in our families and relationships that it feels like all of hell has broken loose in our lives. And things are out of control like they've never been. It may be friends. It may be persecution or being laughed at for the stand that we're taking as Christians. The fact that God has spoken into our hearts and we're following him and we're being obedient to him, and we suffer persecution. And sometimes we think we don't do that and we haven't experienced that, but many of us have. I know I have, even as a young man. People saying, "Hey, what's wrong with you for what you believe and for the stand that you're taking? What's up with that?" That's the form of persecution coming against us, even from within the church. And we stand, that it's a part of the gates of hell coming against us. It may be temptations, it may be false teachings, it can be a host of things. But Jesus is saying, if this statement is truly coming from our hearts, all of hell, Satan can unleash everything possible against us as Christian people. The church of Jesus Christ will stand. But he's saying this in this verse, but I want to bring it down to us personally. We as individuals will be able to stand as well against the onslaught of Satan, because our lives are built on the rock. And I want to turn to, actually I'm meshing this with the scripture that we know well. in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built himself on the rock," or the same foundation that we just heard in the previous verse. Jesus is saying, if you hear the sayings of mine and do them, you're going to be like the man that builds his house on the rock. And so we're talking about a foundation that is secure and firm, a firm foundation. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house. There again we get the picture of the gates of hell coming against us as individuals. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, the statement that was just made. I read in the previous verses, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall." We all know the importance of a firm foundation in the construction world. In my young years, when I was young growing up in Michigan, we were involved in installing foundations. My family was involved in mason work, and so we did that kind of thing. We installed foundations. And for a number of years there was a push in our area. It was sandy soil in the area, so not a lot of clay and not a lot of pressure against foundations. But for a number of years, the big push in our area was a wood foundation. And you would build your foundation just like you would the rest of your house, and put treated plywood on the outside. No concrete for the footer. You would just put that wall on the foundation, and then you would put black plastic on the outside, and that was your foundation. And that was a big push for a number of years, and I always wondered what happened with that. And I was curious, and so I asked my brothers and my dad a couple of years ago. I was like, "Hey, do you guys ever hear of these wood foundations anymore?" And they're like, "No, we don't hear of them anymore." Because I don't know about you, but I understand the importance of a firm foundation that a house is built on. And if I was going to look at two houses to purchase, and I saw one with a 12-inch thick concrete wall, and another with a wood foundation, I would think twice about purchasing a house with a wood foundation, because that doesn't seem very solid and that doesn't seem very secure to me at all. And so we know the importance of a firm foundation, that our lives are built on that, that our church is built on a good foundation, and even in the physical sense, that our houses are built on a firm foundation. It's important that our foundation is secure. And really what this passage of Scripture is painting the picture of is that there are two houses that can be built. They can look identical on the outside, and everything can look the same. But Jesus is pointing out the fact that there's something underneath. When we get underneath what we see above ground, the foundation of our lives, there can be something drastically different between the two houses. Two houses can be built. They can look the same. Everything can, just as we walk through them, we say, "Oh my, these are identical houses." They're good houses. They're built well. Things are good. But when we get down underneath, there's a realization that something is drastically different in our lives. And the foundation isn't secure. And then when the gates of hell come against the house in the second story, the one's going to stand, the other one isn't. And that's a powerful thing for us as we look at our lives. As we stop and reflect about tonight, it's important that we stop and reflect on what foundation is my life built on? What foundation is our church built on? Because that's one of the most important questions that we have. Because when all hell breaks loose against us, our lives. Some of us stand and some of us crumble. That's what Jesus is saying here. Some of us will stand, some of us will crumble. Those whose lives and the church whose foundation is Jesus Christ. The statement that Peter made, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the foundation that we need to build our lives on. And we may look at that and say, well, that's sort of a duh. We've known that from the time we're little. It's not a duh in our lives. Because I don't know about you, but the what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, living out of the carnal flesh and living out of the spirit, is a battle that we all face all of the time in our lives. We can't get away from that. I always want to come back to another foundation. It's the easiest thing for me in the natural way to come back to some other foundation. And in 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." And we go to great lengths to lay all kinds of other foundations in our lives. We do. Actually, the passage of Scripture that verse comes out of is in the context where Paul is saying, some of you are saying, "I am of Apollos and some of Paul and other people." And they're basing their things on that. And Paul is saying, that's not right. And so, pardon me just for a minute as I go down this path. But I believe it's true. Some of us build on the foundation of our denomination. And as much as I believe and am okay with the denomination thing and a part of being a Mennonite, some of us have built our foundation on the fact that we've grown up in a Mennonite church or a Baptist church, or we're a follower of Menno Simons or host, I'm drawing a blank on some of the, Martin Luther and some of the other reformers. Those are foundations that we can end up laying in our lives that are not the firm foundation. I'm okay with being a Mennonite, I'm okay with the teaching, but that's not the foundation that my heart and my life is built on. Absolutely not. If it's built on that, it will cave and we will crumble. There's no way of getting around that. We cannot build our lives on that. Or the fact that whatever other denomination that we've ascribed to, it goes much deeper than that. That's not a foundation that is going to last and stand for eternity. We can build a foundation around our family and our friends, our wealth, our religion. And I talked about our denominations. There's a host of things that we go back to that we try to lay other foundations and say, well, maybe this will get me through, or maybe I'll be able to survive on this. The reality is there's only one foundation that we can come back to, and that's the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And I'm tying that to the passage of Scripture that I just read. The test that we have, that we can test our lives on, is this. Do we hear what the Lord is doing? And are we obedient? And I'm not saying all the time. I'm saying, where is our heart in that? That's the test that the Lord comes back to over and over again. If we're built on a firm foundation, and that statement that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God comes from our heart instead of our heads. Let me say this about that. If it's coming from our heads, it can change our thinking. And it can change a little bit what we believe. If it comes from our heart, it changes how we live and who we are as people. There's a big difference in those two. Many of us, from the time I was little, I could say yes to that statement. And the fact that I believed with all my heart that Jesus was the Son of God, I believed it. I could say that, but it only came from my head. And I wasn't even a Christian at that time, and yet I knew it and I believed it. But that statement made no sense to me until it went from my head into my heart. And then it changed my life. I could make that statement coming from a heart that had been dedicated to Him and committed to Him. Do I struggle in the midst of that? Absolutely, yes. Do I still fail in being obedient to Him? Absolutely. But my heart is totally different. My foundation is at a different place. And that's the important thing for us. Many of us, I was just reflecting on this, I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard for me to hear the Spirit of the Lord and what He's saying in my life, and it's even harder to be obedient to that. Because all hell is against me to keep me from doing that. But when I do hear the voice of the Lord, I do want, my heart says, yes, I want to be there. I want to follow. I want to be obedient to You. I want to do everything that You say and beyond. That's coming from our hearts. If we make that statement out of our heads, we probably don't even know what it's like to hear the Lord speaking into our lives. It's been a long time since that's happened to us. And we feel Him nudging, and we can say, yes, that's the Lord speaking to me. He's calling me into this. He's calling me out of this. He's calling me into something else. And I want something more because I want to follow Him with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. And Jesus is saying the biggest test of which foundation we have is this. Do we hear the voice of God and follow it? Or do we not hear the voice of God? And even if we do, we don't follow it. And that will determine which foundation our lives are built on. We can go through the motions of church. We can grow up in church. We can do everything that our church wants us to do. But if we're not hearing the voice of God and we're not following and being obedient to Him, we better check our foundations. We better check what foundation we've built on. Is it built on the fact that Jesus is Lord? Because if Jesus is Lord, if we truly believe that, That puts us in a different category. We are no longer in charge of our lives. We are no longer in charge of what goes on in my life. We can't direct it or do anything about it. We're following the call of the Master in our lives. Because He wants something of us. He wants something deeper and greater than us just going our own way and following our own will in the things of our lives. The question is this. What foundation are our lives built on? Do we just know it in our heads? Can we say all the right words? Can we make the statement up there? The verse is not up there right now, but that Jesus is Lord. Can we say that in our heads? Tonight, I'm talking particularly tonight as we go into the communion service. Can we say that in our heads? Or does it actually come out of our hearts? Because how we answer that question will determine how we go into our communion service tonight. I believe that with all our hearts, with all my heart. How we answer that question will determine how we approach the communion service. Because Jesus has paid the price. God the Father has made a way that I can be in connection with Him. I can live in fellowship with Him. I can hear His voice. I can follow Him. And it changes my life. That's why I love our communion services. It calls us back to reflecting on what the God the Father has done for me. He's changed my life. He's changed my outlook. Do I wrestle with the whole foundation thing? Yeah, sometimes I think I got it firm and strong and secure, and the next moment I'm wrestling with it because all of hell is coming against me. And it feels like I'm on shaky ground. But the reality is, if we can say it from our hearts, the gates of hell will never, ever be able to stand against us. We will not fall. Our lives will not fall. Our church will not fall. We're on solid ground. We're in the arms of Jesus. And I was thinking of that song, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. That's because of the foundation that our lives are built on. Jason, would you just play that song, Spirit of the Living God, just for a little bit? This morning, as we think in regards to our service tonight, I don't know where you're at in the whole thing that I've just been talking about. I don't know what foundation your lives have been built on. I only know what's been going on in my heart and my life. But I know that without the Lord revealing to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, without His Spirit nudging our hearts, and if we've never made a commitment from our heart, if our commitment has only been from our head, I know this because of my own journey, our lives are difficult because we don't feel the Lord moving and working very much in our lives. And I don't know if that's the story of your life. I don't know if you've made that commitment from your heart, and maybe you have. Maybe there's a time where that commitment actually came out of your heart and it changed your life, but circumstances, sort of hell coming against you, has weakened that, and it's been a long time since you've heard from the Lord and the Lord speaking. And or maybe also this morning you're in the middle of all hell coming against you, the gates of hell coming against you. You may be struggling with things. We may be struggling with things within our family, health issues. The list goes on and on. I don't know where you're at personally, but I do know this. I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And if we can say that from our heart instead of our head, we have a place to come to. We have a place to bring all that hell brings against us. And this morning, I just want to pause for a moment, and then I want to invite you for a word of prayer. I want to invite you to just be able to come up if there's anyone that wants to shore up the foundation and maybe move it from your head to your heart, or maybe you want to bring what hell is bringing against you in your life and you'd like to just stand before the Lord in His presence. I want to invite you to do that as Jason plays. Let's pray just for a moment. Without You, we are really unworthy and undone. Lord, the foundation of our lives is the most important thing. Lord, I know what it's been like knowing about You and believing about You from my head. And Lord, I confess that sometimes I still do that. But Lord, I also know that knowing about You and believing that Jesus, that You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, from my heart makes all the difference in the world. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would rest on this place right now. And Lord, if there's some of us here that need to shore up our foundation, that need to move that statement from our head to our hearts, I pray that you would nudge our hearts this morning. And Lord, maybe some of us have been living there, but we need to recommit ourselves to you in a fresh way, in a new way. I pray that you would do that this morning. Just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name. If you feel the Lord nudging you in any way, could you just dim these lights up here? If you feel the Lord nudging you in any way, like to just spend a few minutes before the Lord here, I just invite you to come up right now as Jason plays. It's just a private time between you and the Lord, spending time with him.
Let's sing together, Spirit of the Living God. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me.
People are still praying. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thanks for your presence with us this morning, for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I thank you for those who responded and felt the need to come before you and shore up their foundations and bring whatever they're facing to you. Lord, thank you for their faithfulness to your voice. And I pray that you would minister to their hearts, meet them in their time of need, encourage their hearts. Strengthen them for the battle, Lord. Help them to commit everything to you and allow you to work in their lives. Lord, bless Mark for sharing. Thank you for his faithfulness to your voice and leading us this morning to the Spirit, to hearing from you. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our congregation. And I continue to lift our church up to you, that we would honor you with our lives and all we do. Lord, bring before you some prayer requests, Lord, for Mim Rank as she recovers from cancer treatments, and for Dan and Loyal as they recover from surgery. Lord, lift up heaven's gates and hell's flames that they would minister to many hearts while there's still time left to commit their hearts to you. And I pray for our missionaries, Lord, for Angie in Colorado, Lord, and what Chris brought with Gio and Amber, Lord, I commit that to you. Continue to minister to Angie as she gives and gives and gives to Gio. Bless her with vision and wisdom. And too, for Gerald's neighbor, as they have ministered, I pray that they've ministered to his heart. And yeah, just this crazy kind of love that he may not know anything about, Lord. May it touch his heart. And Lord, for Mark and Karen, and for Lois and Jim and Ruth, and Marvin and Suzanne, and Phil and Twyla, and Delmar and Lauren, and Jamie, Lord, I just lift them up to you this morning. Touch their hearts, minister to them, encourage them, strengthen them with your power and for your purpose, where you've called them. Protect them, Lord, from the evil one and from the gates of hell. Help them to trust in you for their journey, for their lives, and for what you've called them for. And Lord, too, for our government, I lift them up to you in Jesus' name, that you'd overrule in the affairs of the world, in the affairs of nations, in the affairs of rulers, in the hearts of rulers, that you would touch their lives, touch their hearts, help them to be mindful that you are a supreme leader, the supreme ruler, and they are accountable to you, and we commit them to you, Lord. Go with us, Lord, today. Help us to be faithful servants of yours and be with us as we come together for the communion service. It would be an act of worship to you, our God, our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.